Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, write it down if you haven't done so already, on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. The number to dial again, 888-ASK-HANK. But I first want to say something about two significant celebrations coming up tomorrow. One, of course, is Valentine's Day. There is little agreement among historians regarding the precise origin of St. Valentine's Day, but we can all agree it is a time of celebration with respect to love, devotion, and quintessential romance. It may well be that because mid-February was originally associated with the pagan Roman festival of Lupercalia, the Roman god of the flocks, equivalent to the Greek god Pan, that the Christian church instituted a rival celebration. And that's what the Christian church used to do. They didn't curse the darkness. They built a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. So they instituted a rival celebration. And it was a celebration in honor of a Roman priest who was imprisoned, tortured, and ultimately martyred under the Emperor Claudius II in the late 3rd century. I've talked about this before in previous editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as the years have gone by and we've celebrated other Valentine's Days. But the official veneration of St. Valentine, as I've pointed out from time to time, within Roman Catholicism was rescinded back in 1969, and the reason was insufficient historical knowledge about St. Valentine. The Eastern Orthodox Church still honors St. Valentine as a model of life and the love of Christ and the psychophysical love we have for our loved ones that is ultimately rooted in Christ's love for the church. Eastern Orthodoxy commemorates not only one, they actually commemorate two Valentines. They're both martyred for their faith. St. Valentine, who was the presbyter of Rome, as I recall. He was martyred back on a date that corresponds to our July 6th, and hieromartyr Valentine, bishop of Terni, Italy, July 30th. And by living a life of emulation, the emulation of Christ, St. Valentine demonstrated the cardinal Orthodox truth that genuine love is far more lasting than flowers, far more lasting than cards, far more lasting than a fleeting feeling. Love is ultimately rooted in commitment. I also want to say something about Lent. Now, I'm going to say much more about Lent as the days go on and as we get closer and closer to the beginning of Lent. The Western Church has a different beginning than the Eastern Church has. The Western Church begins Lent with Ash Wednesday. But Lent, we need to recall, is 40 days and 40 very significant, poignant, incredibly important days of preparation for the celebration of the most important event on the Christian calendar, an event that oftentimes for Christians comes and goes with no preparation and little thought. And that's why Lent is so critically important. I'm obviously talking about the most important event as the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. And I think it's kind of sad when you think about the disunity in the Christian church, the fact that we don't have a unified witness to the world, and that disunity is even reflected in the calendars. I was talking to my wife about that when we were in Athens a couple of days ago. What a shame that the calendars themselves are such that we start our Lenten celebrations on different days. They don't cohere one with the other. Again, a sign of disunity. And I like what the Ecumenical Patriarch has so well said. He's pointed out that the Julian calendar, and that's the calendar of the Orthodox community, is more defective scientifically, results in too many leap years, and therefore perhaps it might be well to cohere with the Gregorian calendar where Lent begins tomorrow. Now, you can make a distinction between what you do in the Roman Church, in the Western Church. You have Ash Wednesday, and so followers of Christ present themselves before the altar, and the priest marks ashes on the forehead in the sign of the cross, saying, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you will return. The ashes, of course, are the burnt remains of the palms of the previous Palm Sunday. And so that is a great tradition. You're marking yourself with the cross, symbolic of the fact that you've taken up your cross and you're daily following Jesus Christ. In the East, there's a different tradition. The Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, begins Lent on Clean Monday. And there's a reason for that. It comes from Isaiah chapter 1, where we are to wash ourselves so that we might be clean, so that we might put away wicked ways from our souls and cease to do evil, learn to do well, diligently seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, consider the fatherless, plead for the widow. So we need to reason together according to the Lord. Though our sins might be as scarlet, I will wash them and make them white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. If you are willing, if you're obedient, you'll eat the good fruit of the land. But if you desire not to obey me, well, then the sword will devour you. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Again, you can read about this in Isaiah chapter 1, but this is the essence behind Clean Monday. Wash yourselves, you will be clean. So great Lent, the 40 days, a time of washing, washing away of habits that are displeasing to the Lord. Well, again, we'll be talking a whole lot more about this as Lent continues over the next 40 days, again in the Western Church, in Roman Catholicism, starting with Ash Wednesday, and in the Eastern Church, starting next Monday, Clean Monday. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Moses in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Moses.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. You're welcome. So my question is, what does the Bible say about LGBT and all the pluses that, you know, we find in today's world? And how do I behave? Should I be, you know, just reaching out and preaching the gospel, obviously, against this? Or what do I do? I don't want to be considered a homophobic. I do want to share God's love with everyone, but I just need some tips. And maybe you might have some resources for me that I can use, like from Joel Dallas or someone like that, that I can use to be able to reach out effectively.
Well, Joe Dallas has some great resources, and you can find them on the web at equip.org. But I would tell you a book that that we're offering right now as a resource of the month, Love Thy Body by Nancy Piercy, is absolutely stunning. and it deals with these issues in the most effective way imaginable. And for people listening in, as Moses is asking the question, you can get that resource on the web at equip.org. In terms of how you're supposed to behave, I've actually developed the acronym GAY to remind you of how we're to behave with respect to the LGBT community. The G should remind us that God has spoken. And what I mean by that is that the Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. And this is true not only with respect to special revelation, but general revelation as well, which is sufficient to provide enough evidence to underscore that God condemns same-sex sexuality. That what he does is he carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. In other words, he places borders around our lives, not, as I say, because he's a cosmic killjoy, but rather so that our joy might in fact be complete. The A has to do with attitude. And I think this is a critical, central point. It's central in the acronym GAY, but it's also central with respect to our behavior as we communicate with people of all persuasions, quite frankly. We can preach the right things in all the wrong ways, as Joe Dallas, who you mentioned earlier, once put it. We can either be too aggressive, we can be too meek. And when either conviction or compassion is compromised, we need to quickly recognize that revision is the order of the day. As I've said many times on this show, tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue, but tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. So God has spoken. That is true. We must communicate his truth with clarity, but we must also have tolerance with respect to personal relationships. I mean, Christ hung out with sinners, with prostitutes. And of course, there were a lot of prostitutes in Christ's day because women were considered valuable only in certain ways. If you wanted pleasure, prostitutes were the way to go. And Christ came into that kind of a culture and he elevated women so that a man was supposed to, this was revolutionary, supposed to honor his wife as he honors his own body. Honor his wife as Christ honors the church. Revolutionary in that culture. And the why, getting back to the acronym, has to do with the word yield. We are not to yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Our conscience is captive to God. To yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. Now, in all of this, God has spoken. Our attitude and the issue of yielding or not yielding, in all of this, we have to recognize that we ourselves are sinners. We all have our own besetting sins. So it's never talking down our nose at someone else as though we are superior to that person. No, we are sinners. We are justly and condignly condemned because of sin. And we have been redeemed by a Savior. And thus, we must have great humility and respect for people who are created in the image of God and who desperately need God's way for their life, not because God is condemning, because God wants to transform. Yes, God condemns sin, but thank God it isn't left in the realm of condemnation. God has given us a way to be reconciled to Christ, and that is the beauty. That is the message of the gospel, and we communicate that message with gentleness and with respect. But we need to have our voice heard in the culture, because you can legislate morality. A lot of people think you can't legislate morality, but you can legislate morality, and therefore we have to be involved in having answers and communicating those answers with clarity. And that's, again, why I've made this book available I look for the best resources that you can find on issues. And if you want a resource that really deals in a cogent, compassionate fashion with this issue, great clarity, Nancy Piercy. The book, Love Thy Body, you can find it on the web again at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CR. I hope that helps, Moses.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much. And I plan to use every opportunity as a springboard to reach out and, you know, share God's love.
Music to my ears. God bless you, my friend. We will be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And if you can, if the Lord has blessed you with some of His resources, please consider investing those resources in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're touching lives all over the globe. As I travel to various places, ministering in those places, I'm always moved by the fact that somehow or other this ministry has reached into places that I could never personally be. Technology has allowed us to be there. We'll be right back.
Supporters of abortion rights deny the fetus is a person, though she or he is biologically human. Is this equality for women, or does it threaten the intrinsic value of all humans? Be sure to read Nancy Piercy's new book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master Love Thy Body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Turning the tables on the media boilerplate that portrays Christianity as harsh and hateful, especially concerning same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and abortion, Nancy Piercy makes the compelling case that Christianity sustains the dignity of the body and accords with science and biology. Don't miss Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And back to our callers, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, Philman listening in Los Angeles, California, on KKLA. Hi, Philman.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you.
You too, sir. I have a question. I want you to give me some clarification about what the Apostle John says in 2 John when he writes to the elderly lady. And he says in verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And then in verse 10, he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greetings. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So does that mean that we shouldn't invite unbelievers into our church or just into our house, or we shouldn't greet them? I want some clarification.
No, not at all. In fact, in context, what's going on, and I really appreciate it that you started at verse 9 before getting to verse 10. In context, the problem was false teachers being let into house churches. You know, the believers met in house churches, and those false teachers would come into the church, and by bringing them into these house churches, they would be tacitly endorsed, and they would then lead the people within those house communities astray with their false teachings. So it was a prohibition against giving a platform to false teachings for the propagation of those false teachings by the false teachers. It's not a prohibition about showing hospitality to sinners. I mean, obviously, it could not be that because Jesus himself was well known and criticized for hanging out, as I mentioned to an earlier caller, with prostitutes and sinners. Paul also warned against overzealous separation from non-believers. We ought not to separate ourselves from non-believers. We ought to be leavening force in a culture of unbelievers so that they might come to faith in Christ. But in context, if anyone comes, that phrase, that moniker makes clear that this refers to traveling teachers or preachers who are working against the true Christian faith and leading those who are not solidified in their faith astray. So don't receive that kind of a false teacher into your house churches, because that welcome would give the appearance of endorsing the false teachings themselves.
Oh, okay. Kind of like someone who is bent on, causing the faith of the believers to waver. Those kind of people, we shouldn't invite them.
Yeah, very important for a pastor. He's a shepherd. A shepherd never lets the wolf into the sheep pen. What the shepherd does is he protects the sheep from the wolves, and this is in keeping with that admonition.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That absolutely clears it. Thank you.
You got it.
Have a good day.
You too. And next up is Lee listening in Richmond, California. Hi, Lee.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. God bless you, and I'm praying for you. And I pray for me and our family. And I'm glad I reached you, Hank.
Well, I'm glad to be talking to you as well, Lee.
Okay. And what my question is that in life, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, and that we are to follow his ways. From what I understand, I've been listening to you for years. And so to me, that anything that goes against life is not what the Lord God wants.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right about that, Lee. And I think what's implicit in this, that Christ came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly, is that the life that Christ gives us is not just life in the afterlife. He's giving us life in the present, which means that we can experience even now union and communion with God. And I think this is one of the passages that oftentimes we fail to get the most juice out of. And what I mean is we can squeeze this for its very significant flavor and juice, which is communion with God. We ought to communicate that. So often the Christian faith is relegated to what happens after we die. But no, Christ came to give us life more abundantly in the here and now. We can have fellowship with Christ, with the body of Christ. We can have union with the Trinity. We can have fellowship in the Trinity. I mean, that's the essence of what life is. We were created for fellowship with God, and we can experience that in abundance now.
Yes, thank you.
Bless you. I appreciate your call. You know, I want to talk a little bit about, and this has been on my heart since the beginning of the show, this whole idea of love. We're going to be celebrating Valentine's Day, and so often we think about love as being a mere feeling. And as I mentioned earlier, love is more than a feeling. Love is a commitment. Feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment should never die. And in that vein, I wanted to recall to your memory, and many of you have memorized this, the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the quintessential passage on love, and I suppose everybody knows that, but every now and then it is good to hearken to the words themselves. As Paul put it, if I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong. I'm kind of like a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom, well, mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and if I have a faith that could move a mountain, but yet I don't have love, well, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I mean, imagine that. Giving all you possess to the poor, surrendering your body to flames, but without love, you're nothing. You gain nothing. And then Paul says that love is patient, kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. Well, it's never proud. And rude? Never. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil. Love rejoices with truth. It protects. It always trusts. It hopes and always perseveres. And love never fails. Where there are prophecies, well, they're going to cease. Where there are tongues, they're going to be stilled. Where there is knowledge, It's going to pass away, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I even thought like a child. And I most certainly reasoned like a child. And then I became a man. And as a man, I put away childish things. I put them behind me. Now, we see a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now there remain three. Faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, love. What's the greatest? And the greatest of these is love. And I think this is an important remembrance for all of us. Because, you know, on this broadcast, I'm seeking to provide answers to questions that people pose. And we do that not just for an intellectual exercise, but we're demonstrating that the Christian worldview stands up to scrutiny. It is a worldview that doesn't fail us. It is a worldview that corresponds to reality. But the danger in having information is that you can use the information as a hammer. And that is the one thing I want to make sure that you don't do. It's not garnering knowledge so you can win arguments. It's ultimately garnering knowledge so that you can win people. So even as we talk about loving thy body, human anthropology understood in a Christian sense, as we talk about the evils of abortion, well, we have to do this with love, not just having the philosophical answer, the theological answer, the scriptural answer, but also think about how we can care for a person that has had an abortion, how can we help that person who is hurting? Do we do it by looking down our nose so that the person least wants to come to church and be with the body of Christ? Or do we do that with compassion, recognizing that we too are sinners? And if it were not for the compassion of Christ, we would not be reconciled to God. We would not have what I was talking about earlier. We wouldn't have, as I said to Lee, we wouldn't have this opportunity to have fellowship in the Trinity. So it's really important for me as we talk about St. Valentine, as we talk about Valentine's Day, as we talk about love, to recognize love for our spouses in the sense of commitment, love for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We become ambassadors for Christ in bringing his son to people, and then Jesus transforms lives, not only for time, but also for eternity. He gives us life, and he gives us life more abundantly. Coming up to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day, as well as answering more of your questions as you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, the resource of the month, that is absolutely incredible, Love Thy Body. We also have another book by Lauren Green. It is a fantastic book titled Lighthouse Faith. I really appreciate Lauren Green. I'm going to be doing a podcast with her in the near future. And we'll put that up on the web at equipped.org, which reminds me, we do have the Hank Unplugged podcast. If you're not listening to them, I'm bringing some of the most inspiring, intelligent, informative people on the planet directly to you in conversations that are stimulating and profound. Hank Unplugged, you can find it at equipped.org. We'll be right back.
Trans activists detach gender from biological sex. Kids down to kindergarten are being taught their bodies are irrelevant. Is this affirming or does it demean the body? Find out in Nancy Piercy's new book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership,
Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master Love Thy Body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Advocates for same-sex sexuality disconnect sexuality from biological identity. Is this liberating, or does it denigrate biology? Discover the truth in Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-transforming outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day from John Chrysostom, the saint who has really had an impact on my life, a fourth-century saint, and I'm grateful to the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom every single week. And the quote of the day has to do with Valentine's Day. His name, by the way, means golden mouth, and you will see from the quote of the day exactly why. Said St. John Chrysostom, an intelligent, discreet, and pious young woman is worth more than all the money in the world. Tell her that you love her more than your own life, because this present life is nothing, and that your only hope is that the two of you pass through this life in such a way that in the world to come, you will be united in perfect love in Christ. What a beautiful reminder of true love from St. John Chrysostom. Again, an intelligent, discreet, and pious young woman is worth more than all the money in the world. Tell her that you love her more than your own life. I mean, this is revolutionary in the early centuries of the church, because the culture did not value women. And here you have a man who put women on the proper pedestal that women belonged on, because they're created in the Imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God, and have complete ontological equality with males. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Duane in Newport News, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, I appreciate you for your tireless effort to stand on the wall. Needed today.
Thank you.
I have a question. Book of Timothy speaks about the church being an apostate and the great falling away. And I'm wondering, do you see that as the church right now? Is there something to come, or could you actually better explain that scripture?
Well, I think the church is in a state of great apostasy, that the church has, in many ways, become a mere reflection of the world. And the church is, as I mentioned earlier, it is fraught with schism. You think of the great schism that took place between the Eastern Church and the Western Church in 1054. You think of the schism that took place with respect to the Reformation and the splintering of the Western Church, which has continued on to this day. You think as well about radical individualism, where people no longer are knit together, but are individualistic. And it's a refrain you hear, if not in so many words, at least in so many attitudes, it's me and my Bible. So there's a tremendous amount of schism that has taken place in the church, and the disunity in the church has been a bad testimony to the world. Obviously, we should, as believers, be unified around the essentials of the Christian faith and the ultimate answer to Christ's high priestly prayer is that we would all be as one and therefore have an impact on the church. But the schisming or the fracturing, the fissuring within the church has led to all kinds of ills within the church, such that you now have the health and wealth gospel. This is a great form of apostasy where the church has now reduced Jesus Christ to a means to their end, as opposed to recognizing that Jesus Christ is the end, and induced people to come to the master's table, not for the love of the master, but rather for what is on the master's table. And again, this is a great prostitution of true Christianity. In this world you'll have trouble, said Jesus Christ, but take heart, I've overcome the world. This world is not what we're ultimately after. Certainly in this world we can have fellowship with God, union and communion with God, and have life that is abundant, but not in the pursuit of earthly pleasures and treasures, but in the pursuit of eternal verities, in the pursuit of loving one another, loving our neighbor as ourself, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, the first two great commandments. And if we violate those, everything else falls by the wayside. So the rule of living is a rule that has been abandoned to a large extent in the church, and therefore the church doesn't have the power to change the world. So the church is in deep need of reformation. There's certainly no question about that. But we have to remember that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So God has always had a people in the midst of a a great apostasy. And the great falling away was a great falling away that took place within history. And that great falling away has been mirrored throughout the centuries. So we think of our own epoch of time as the worst epoch of time oftentimes, but we have to remember that there were times that were equally vicious and horrific. And this certainly is what is in view in the New Testament writings, where you had not only Israel that was called to be a light to the nation, apostatizing. Israel was making alliances with the great Satan, as it were, of the time, with Rome, with the civil authorities, which were anathema to the principles of Christ. And so you had a beast and a woman riding the beast, and as a result of that, you had a church in chaos. And that's why you have John writing to seven churches in the province of Asia, telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So rather than being lukewarm like the church at Laodicea, we need to be vigilant and have Christ come in and sup with us and us with him so that we can ultimately, through fellowship with Christ, have an impact on the world.
Amen. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you for calling. Troy next. He's listening in Louisiana, I believe, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Hank. Nice to hear from you. I hope you're doing better. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling great. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, my question is this. I was on YouTube the other night, and I was watching a preacher, and he was going through the Lazarus, you know, the beggar at the rich man's gate, and then he went to Abraham's bosom, and then the rich man went to Sheol. And he went on to say, you know, that the rich man wanted Lazarus to go back and talk to his brothers, but Abraham said that he wouldn't believe even though a man returned from the dead. And then he turned around and said that the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead was the same Lazarus.
Well, no, this wasn't the same Lazarus. I don't think there's any warrant for saying that. But I think what's important is to recognize the import of the message Christ is bringing to us in Luke chapter 16. This is one of the most poignant and profound passages in all of Scripture, from my perspective, because it's such an incredible statement about the brevity of life. Here you have a beggar and a rich man, and in a millisecond, everything is reversed. In this life, the rich man, his skin was caressed with purple and with linen, and he had all the fineries of life. He had food, and he had barns, and he had goods. He had what this world offers. And then a rich man is lying at his gate, and they both die. And what's shocking about this story is immediately they're in a different state. So one moment they're here enjoying everything the world has to offer, or not, and the next moment they are experiencing what the world to come in the intermediate state has to offer, or not. And that's a very, very, well, it's a graphic description of the brevity of life, and is a graphic description that we ought to not work for that which perishes, but rather work or labor for that which is eternal. Because as I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I'm just one heartbeat away from eternity. And that is true for every single person that's listening to me. Life is a vapor here today, gone tomorrow. Well, the story is a very interesting story in that Lazarus is comforted in Abraham's bosom or paradise, and the rich man, he's being tormented. He's in torment. That's not tortured, but he's in torment. He's absent the loving presence of God. He's not absent the presence of God, but he is absent the loving presence of God. And the torment is so horrific that he asks Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his five brothers that they don't come to a torment such as this. And the enigmatic reply is they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, they have all the evidence that is necessary to believe. It's not that they can't believe, it is that they won't believe. And so it's a poignant and a profound parable. And you see that there's both conditions in Hades or Sheol. You mentioned the word Sheol. Sheol is simply the Hebrew word for the Greek Hades. So they're both in the abode of the dead. One is in comfort and the other is in torment.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for calling, Troy. And again, I'm glad you brought up Luke chapter 16. I think it is one of the most terrifying passages, if in fact you're living only for the things that are temporary. That's very, very comforting if you have given your life for the principles of the kingdom, if you love Christ, and by loving Christ, you're willing to give the cup of cold water, the piece of bread in the name of Christ. And that includes communicating the gospel. This is one of the reasons I am so grateful for people who are willing to invest in this ministry. Because when you give to this ministry, you're not giving to us as much as giving through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And I pray if you've listened and never considered giving, that you might consider joining CRI's monthly support team. You can do that on the web at equip.org. Invest your resources in that which lasts for all eternity. Make a difference. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back on Valentine's Day coming up tomorrow. Make sure you treat your Valentine.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master, love thy body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet.
Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.